ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another D&D Commentaries. Unfortunately, there's not going to be any D today. Instead, first of all, I am your host, Ben, a.k.a. The Marvelous AKB, but joining me for this oh-so-special commentary is my friend and my co-podcaster for the Mighty Warrior Cinema Podcast, Mr. Brian Powers. Welcome.
Hey, this is gonna be new and fun. Let's talk about some cheesy kung fu, man. I'm ready to get into
yes,
it.
Yes, and am. So we're doing a movie on possibly the most successful fighting game of all time, really, which is Street Fighter, specifically Street Fighter 2 Championship Edition, or Street Fighter 2 in general, because we're gonna talk a lot about a video game because this movie is just bad. This is one of those movies that's just terrible. But the success of Street Fighter 2. A lot of you kids don't understand, and I was still young, but even I understood because I had a dad who was in video games. Street Fighter 2 took in 1991 took the world by storm. It is. There were fighting games before it. There are fighting games after it. But Street Fighter 2 is considered the beginning of what people can when people think of fighting games, quarter circle movements, special moves, and of course the initial glitch, which would become combos, colorful characters, music. But before we get into it, as you see a perfect image of Raul Julia as M. Bison, what is your history with Street Fighter or Street Fighter 2 or any Street Fighter?
Well, I grew up in a house where, you know, I had a brother and I had friends and stuff, and we all loved video games, and, you know, it was just a world that was incredibly easy for someone such as myself to slip into, you know, get into the series as it was. Now, I don't have the arcade experience. I'm not sure if anybody has the arcade experience except for maybe Taser, who's, hey, it's
I've had an arcade experience, like... There, and you can still find arcades with
oh,
this
yeah,
arcade
yeah.
cabinet. It's just they're not hugely popular like they say in the mid-90s.
No, yeah. I mean, I'm just saying I didn't have the experience in the arcade as many people did. Actually, my first exposure to a few of these characters came from Marvel vs. Capcom, believe it or not. A buddy of mine had the old game. And, of course, I knew who the Marvel characters were because I grew up, you know, loving all that stuff. But
oh, yeah.
Then I was introduced to the Capcom side of things, and it's like, who the hell are these guys? And then finding out that they were all these colorful characters of a different game that had its own story, and they had their own fighting series, even more characters on top of that, it was, you know, sort of like a revelation unto me where it was like, this world is bigger than I thought it was.
Oh, yeah.
And
there's a lot of lore in Street Fighter.
That was exhilarating to me. And of course, you know, you go back and you play the mainstays like Street Fighter 2, which I think holds a distinction of being one of the most game-changing games, excuse the pun on that one, to really
come into it. It defined a genre.
There is a pre-Street Fighter and a post-Street Fighter fighting game.
Oh, even Street Fighter 1. Like, Street Fighter 1 exists, and you don't ever want to play it. It's amazing they got a sequel because how difficult and coin-munching that thing was.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But, of course, they brought it out, they put it into arcades, and they brought it into the home eventually, and it thrived, and it became this whole huge thing. So my experience mostly comes from unraveling the genre from there. I started off in Marvel vs. Capcom, and it just sort of spiraled out into the Street Fighter series from there. I'm trying to think of what the first game I... Oh, God, what was it? I think my first game I ever played, which was, I think, actually pretty unfortunate. I think it was Street Fighter 3. It was in that series.
I love Street Fighter 3. Street Fighter 3 is considered, well, at least Street Fighter 3 Third Strike, because there's multiple iterations of the game, is considered by many the most technically and best Street Fighter game. And I've played it a lot, and it's actually really good.
So, mine basically stems from there, and of course, the resurgence it got a few years later, I think it was... It's interesting to me there was a gap in between.
There was a lull, and once again, Street Fighter sort of... Because there was no fighting games around that time period, like, nothing big, like, you had Mortal Kombat, but that was even dying. But then Street Fighter 4 comes out in 2007, and it's like, life again.
It was really kind of magical the way they did it, and I think that speaks to the longevity of the game in the sense that people love the characters and that it's more than just a fighting game. That there tends to be this sense in I think mostly the layman terms where it's like when you see a fighting game you think, oh, it's just another fighting game. You know, interchangeable characters, swap color palettes, bare bones story. And to an extent sometimes they are correct. Yeah, well, there's that. But you know, then you see people who take, you see these characters and you see it take on a life of its own where these people love these characters and they love the story and they love the interactions in there. And I think that speaks a lot towards what makes the game so popular is that, you know, if you play the game and you really get into it, you know, you become acquainted with these characters in a way that makes you want to keep coming back for more. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really something important. Like, for example, Street Fighter is a series that I enjoy. But personally, when it comes to fighting games, I was brought up more on Soul Calibur than I was on Street Fighter. Now, the two aren't comparable. Street Fighter has hit the public consciousness in a way that I don't think will ever really be unseated. But Soul Calibur in its own right has its own characters and its own storyline, and I enjoy very much almost all of those characters. I can name you, you know, you show somebody two different characters who may look vaguely similar and they won't be able to differentiate them, whereas I can go, oh, that's Mitsurugi, he's a samurai who wields the, you know, and then there's also, like, fucking, you know, there's all these different characters and stuff, and you're just able to pick these out, and it almost gives you a sense of pride in the sense
that you're also, I think with the Street Fighter characters, like, people just know who these people are. Like, they don't know, may not know about them, but they're so iconic now that people do Hadoukens, and people do, say, Shoryuken, or Sonic Boom, because they know what it means.
People were able to do that without ever having picked up a Street Fighter game, you know?
That's how you know it's transcended its genre. Which, by the way, I'm going to cut into it, because now we're going to get into the meat of the story, so I apologize. We'll have more time for your for offside stuff. But this is this movie's a classic example of, guys, nerds, we bitch about things now, but this era was so bad because all they would do is take the name of something and then adapt it into whatever they wanted. This is the biggest departure for Ryu and Ken. If you don't know Ryu in the game and Ken in the game, they're both martial artists who trained under a master, and they were, and here they're gun merchants. Yeah. And Sagat, who in the games is the best Muay Thai fighter, is a mob boss. I mean, he looks like Sagat and everything, but it's like Sagat. Like, have you ever seen Sagat, like, either in artwork or in, like, his sprite work? He's huge. And he's not huge here.
Well, don't forget that Chun-Li is a reporter undercover, and then also Honda, I think, is the other one as well.
Well, Chun-Li is actually the closest to her motivation because her whole motivation, the only difference is that she should have been a police officer.
Yeah.
But really, her motivation is the same.
I guess they got it closer than Kristen Kreuk's Legend of Chun-Li movie, which is an entirely different disaster that
we can talk about. Yeah, that movie has so many problems besides it being not even Street Fighter.
I hate to tell you. But I think, even large or small, we see that there are differences in the characters and, you know, the overall story. And that's presented, I think, most strikingly, just because he has the most screen time, with Guile, who is...
Well, I mean, Jean-Claude Van Damme is the star.
But, yeah, and I get that.
Because, at the time, in 1990, when does it come out, 93, 94?
The movie came out in 94,
Jean-Claude Van Damme was one of the action stars. Like, not Bloodsport.
He was the muscle from Brussels, you know. Yeah. But he was the muscle from Brussels playing an American character.
Air Force.
If I remember correctly, either he inspired or was inspired by Lieutenant Surge from Pokemans.
And he was also supposed to be... Johnny Cage is partially inspired by him in Mortal Kombat, at least the first iteration of Johnny Cage.
So there you go, more impact based on the character. Yeah. But then, you know, you have the muscle from Brussels, who's, I think he's a UN, United Nations...
This is very neutral. Like, he's American, but he's working for the United Nations.
Yeah.
Also, a little callback to the Street Fighter where they do a pose, and... Like, there's cute little nods, but it's very fan service-y.
It's very campy, very, you know, kind of like, hey, look at this over here. Remember this from the old games? You know,
is that sort of mentality? Not back to the movies.
It's like they didn't even go into this pretending to take it seriously.
It shouldn't. This is a to quote Jim Sterling, it is a comedy like Rush Hour. to take that from a movie, because go listen.
I actually take a great amount of enjoyment out of this movie. I find it really enjoyable. I think it's
more enjoyable than the Chun-Li movie.
It's a so bad it's good movie to me, in my mind, because, you know, it's got all the classic 90s cheese and hallmarks and stuff, and it's got the campy stuff too. And you're right, it is far and away much more funny than The Legend of Chun-Li, which, that was... The worst thing I think could have ever happened to Michael Clark Duncan was being that movie. movie. Oh, and
he was Balrog? Yeah. Well, you couldn't even tell it was Balrog unless you read, like, something.
Yeah, that was, like, that wasn't even trying to be Street Fighter, I don't even think, honestly, except in name only.
Outside of the Hisoken that Chun-Li does at the end of the movie, but...
I just want a spinning crane kick. Is that too much to ask for? I mean...
Well, you get that in this movie, I think.
Yeah, I know we do. Because Ming-Na Wen kicks all kinds of ass.
Oh, definitely. By the way, this is Raul Julia, who... This was, I believe, his last movie role before he passed away.
Yeah, he died shortly after the completion of this movie was done.
And playing the... By the way, and this, if you don't know, you probably know if you're listening to this, but Bison's name in Japan is actually Vega. So, like, Bison... Balrog and Vega, which we know as the Claw, the Boxer, and the Dictator. In Japan, Bison is Vega, Vega is Balrog, and then Balrog is Bison. For M Bison is really Mike Bison, which is, you can tell if you don't know what that is a reference
to. It was the 80s and 90s, it's Mike Tyson.
Yeah, exactly.
Iron Mike, which wasn't going to fly with America because of copyright and, you know...
Yeah, and also, I think he was also, like, accused, like, that was the time the rape happened, so, like, let's change this.
So they changed the name, and then they just swapped the names around with different characters and stuff.
Which, for international competition, they just refer to him as Claw, Dictator, and Boxer. So if you ever watch a, like, online Street Fighter match, and you wonder why the commentators refer to that, that's why. That being said, though, we're getting to the cage match with Vega right now, and... This is a much better Vega than the Legend of Chun-Li ever had, who just gets bopped in 2 seconds.
Yeah,
Vega from Spain, one of the boss characters in Street Fighter II, nicknamed the Spanish Ninja.
The Spanish Ninja.
Also, if you fighting his CPU or fighting somebody who knows how to play as him, is annoying as fuck.
Is that a fact, Iggy?
Oh, yeah. Just like... Because like, Vega likes to go in the air, and he's so unpredictable because you don't know what he's going to do. That being said, I think Vega's probably the most faithful. Because he's just a cage fighter who's... Like, he's not, like, overtly upset with his beauty here, but you can just tell by how he looks, how amazing gorgeous this man is, whoever he is. you can just tell everything just by looking at Vega.
Yeah, it's very much... It's one of those things where it's in one of those moments where the movie shines through or the character shines through despite the movie itself, where it's like you can see everything about this character and he doesn't even need to speak a word really or just sort of take cues. You just know it based on looking at him, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and that's his victory. That's a nod to his victory pose where if he would beat you, he does a flip and raises his hand. So there you go. By the way, I think in the Championship Edition is when we got Vega became a player character, because initially he was him, Balrog, and Bison were just boss characters that you fight and you can never play them. And Sagat. Sagat was also a boss character.
Yeah. And I just can't get over the fact that, you know, all this stuff. First of all, I can't believe this movie got made, really.
Course it got made. Like they wanted to capitalize off the success of Street Fighter 2, which to this day. Street Fighter 2 Championship Edition has made over $2 billion.
Is that right?
Yeah, from arcade machines and just like people purchasing things with Super Street Fighter 2 Championship Edition on it, because you can buy versions of it digitally, like, virtually everywhere.
Right. Oh my lord! M Bison.
Wow. Here's the thing about Street Fighter, though. It's a movie called Street Fighter. It is a fighting game, but for about 90% of the movie, there's no fight scenes. Like, we get that, and then Guile breaks in.
I think there's more fighting here, or less fighting here, than there is in even Bloodsport or anything like that, you know? Where the fight, it's not advertised, but this thing, it's built around a fighting game, and there's a distinct lack of fighting until, like, the last, like, half hour, not even, you know? And even then, it's like, it's just kind of crazy.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's really ridiculous, you know. And I honestly wonder nowadays, because obviously this genre has taken on a life of its own stuff, and you've seen like the fan films and things like that, where people do their own takes on Ryu and Ken and all that stuff. And there was one in particular I actually rather enjoyed. is the name of it. I'm gonna hate myself for.
All right, while you think of that, I'm gonna give a little beer. That is Cammy White, who in regular Street Fighter canon, she was actually a doll who was controlled by Bison, and she was basically brainwashed into this age. That's still part of her character that she's trying to protect her other sisters who were dolls, and they were like brainwashed soldiers who were all women and dressed in bathing suits because Bison's a perv.
Bison is a perv. Yes, sir.
Also, to the man to her right, you wouldn't know it, but that is T-Hawk, who doesn't do anything T-Hawk. At all. Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah, you would never T-Hawk. Know it because he doesn't... Like, I mean, like, T-Hawk is pretty much a stereotypical Mexican-Indian character in Street Fighter, so, like, I don't know, but, you had to point out, that's T-Hawk, so there you go.
Oh, T-Hawk.
I love Jean-Claude Van Damme's acting skills.
It's like he tries so hard, but it just... Oh, Jean-Claude. How was this guy ever a movie star in the 90s, honestly?
He could kick butt, people love watching him kick butt.
Were movies just really that story light that you were able to pass off Jean-Claude Van Damme as a viable movie star?
I mean, look at Arnold Schwarzenegger.
But you're right. Yeah, fair enough. The focus, I guess, was elsewhere in the 80s and 90s. You know, it was less on the story, more on the action happening. And as you pointed out, we got better movies from that, like Terminator and that whole line. And never mind, it made the careers of Stallone, Schwarzenegger, and even, I think, Bruce Willis could be lumped in there. Pretty much anybody in the Expendables nowadays can kind of be summed up in that way.
Yeah, pretty much.
But Jean-Claude Van Damme, Oh, and for the record, it was Street Fighter Legacy. That was one I was thinking of.
Oh, yeah, that was that's probably the best live-action iteration of Street Fighter. I hold out hope
Shout
that
out
maybe...
To Street Fighter.
Yeah, I hold out hope one day that a studio developer will see Street Fighter, and they don't play it seriously. They'll just acknowledge it's stupid as fuck, but make a really entertaining movie. That's what Street Fighter needs to be. It doesn't need to be super serious or super campy, but just like... acknowledge there's super ridiculous shit in there and just play it like that. Don't try to play it straight.
No, yeah, give yourself some room to breathe in terms of, you know, story by breaking it up with some awesome action sequences. It doesn't need to be that difficult, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Street Fighter 2, the entire thing is a fighting tournament. And why can't that just be it, you know? It
really just... Yeah, I mean, the Street Fighter 2 story is basically, and Bison holds a tournament, and they come to fight. That's a story, and each character brings their own sort of personal vendetta. Guile wants to avenge his friend Charlie. Chun Li wants to avenge her father. Ryu wants to test himself. Ken wants to beat Ryu, and it list goes on and on. Like it all boils down to, we got to stop Bison. So this is one of the low moments where it's just like it's kind of weird to put this in a Street Fighter movie with, like, now we're seeing sort of the effect that Bison's Reign of Terror has in them. And I'm not sure that's proper place for a Street Fighter movie. Like, they're trying to make it too, like, you can tell right here they're trying to make it too grounded.
They're trying to, like, send, like, this is the grounded, but it's not, like, Dark Knight grounded, you know, which is kind of maybe a crappy thing to say, but it's honestly not. It can't be compared because, you know, then you have stuff like where M. Night Bison literally walking around in a dictator's outfit, you know, trying to, like...
Yeah, and as a cartoon character.
Yeah, really. Granted, Raul Julia is probably the best thing about this movie, honestly.
Oh, yeah, he is the best thing about this movie.
But, you know, at the same time, the whole grounded aspect of it just kind of backfires because, you know, that's not what Street Fighter really is. You know, it's the premise, the basic premise is fighting, but then you have where it's just taking off into the stratosphere with, like, evil dictator and monsters fighting each other and martial arts hermits who exist in the wild and train to fight and, you know, things like that. And you have Interpol agents who are just like freaking Chun-Li, and you have...
Real talk,
you know,
real talk, Ryu is just basically a version of Hobo Fights, because he's just a homeless man wandering from place to place just fighting people. He's just Hobo Fights. That's what Ryu is.
He is just Hobo Fights.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't settle down. He's not like Ken, who settled down
kid. I want that quote posted on the next Street Fighter box art.
Oh, it's not me. I stole that from somebody. I don't know who said it first. But I know, like, Hobo Fights are bum fights.
Ryu is just hobo fights.
It's just hobo fights. He's just a homeless man beating up dudes. That's all he is.
Oh my god.
That being said though, like Ryu is like, this is like the most characterization Ryu ever is, because in any game or animated short, because there's animated shorts, by the way, we're doing this one, but if you've never seen the Street Fighter 2, the animated movie, do yourself a favor and go find it. You can probably find it for super cheap, for like $5 to $10, and go watch that. That is, in terms of like animation, that is the best adaptation of Super Street Fighter 2. Also, Chun-Li's boobs are in there, depending on what version you get.
Hey, look at that.
I'm not even kidding. There's a full-on, like, 30-second shot of Chun-Li just topless in a shower. like I didn't have it in a version of the game. Then I bought it years later, because, like, I want to watch this again. And just watching it... Oh, shit, Chun-Li's naked. What the fuck? I didn't realize I logged into DeviantArt right now.
Yeah. That doesn't sound right, talking about Chun-Li naked. It's like, okay, you can log into DP.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's the first lady of fighting games, you know?
She really is, yeah. But going back to Ryu for a second, the characterization, I do get that sense. And when your character's most popular quote is him shouting what move he's doing, you know, I think that sort of speaks volumes about how much of focus you're giving to a character in any given situation.
Well, he's very... Like, Ryu is very straight, very noble, very... They've opened his characters a little bit. Like his whole deal is basically struggling with this thing called the Satsui no Hado, which is the style he knows, but like you know who Akuma is, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, like it's basically like what Akuma is, and whole plot line for Ryu is basically struggling to like become Akuma. Like, he doesn't want to become Akuma, and they're still dealing with that.
Well, I guess it was easier for Ken to settle down then, I guess, in terms of, you know, like...
Yeah, well, Ryu is more driven to be the best. Like, Ken was just like...
He wants to be the very best. He's American. Like, no one ever was.
Yeah. Oh, and then RIP Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, Jean-Claude. Poor bastard.
By the way, I want to point out, E. Honda, not played by a Japanese man.
Yeah, He's Hawaiian. He's Polynesian, I guess.
Yeah, but it's just like, we have too many Asians. We have Ryu. That's too many Asians. Can't make another Asian man.
I love Ming Na Wen's little action roll out of the way when the truck was like nowhere near her. That was fantastic.
Like, why are you flipping? Just place it. They can't see.
That's you're gonna blow your cover that way, sweetheart. I mean, come on.
They're gonna think you're more obvious.
Oh no.
Yeah, if you believe God is dead at this point, you're full of shit.
No, come on. How much runtime do we have left on this thing?
Well, it's not that long of a movie. So I'm going to ask you, what is your favorite Street Fighter move of all time?
My favorite Street Fighter move?
I'm going to exclude Hadouken and Shoryuken because I feel like those are easy.
Yeah, well, those have almost, you know, become pop culture memes in and of themselves. They're not even really just moves anymore, you know. When you want to signify that you're going to go hard against somebody and mess them up, you call Shoryuken or Hadouken. Granted, you're going to be seen as a nerd when you do it, but in the nerd lexicon, to fight someone and hit them hard is a Shoryuken or a Hadouken. But, I mean, outside of that, I mean, honestly, it's probably the spinning crane kick from Chun-Li, because first of all, dem legs, let's be real here for 1 second. Chun-Li gave many people a kind of awakening, you know, dressed in that outfit.
Well, strong. I mean, like, when her title in the game is basically strongest woman in the world. Like, she holds that proudly.
Hell yeah. And can I just say, they casted Ming Na Wen perfectly for that role. I mean, if they could ever give her a second shot at playing Chun-Li in a serious manner in a good movie.
And the thing is, Chun-Li is supposed to be genuinely, like I think she could play Chun-Li now. Like, she's still, like, even, like, she's older, she's still, like, Chun-Li is generally, like, if you look at, like, when, funny enough, if you go look at how old Chun-Li was by the time the Street Fighter 2 tournament is supposed to take place, she's, like, in her 30s. Like, she's, really? She's older, but, like, she doesn't age, apparently.
No, she doesn't age.
I would love
age.
To see McNaughton back as Chun-Li if they ever did another
and
one.
She can still kick ass, too. She does her own stunts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. She does all of her own stunts, you know. All that fighting and combat and stuff, that's all her. Mm-hmm. And that is wonderful that she does that. But, yeah.
So, fun fact, we haven't talked about the other two characters. I'm going to bring them up. The other guy to the one of them, and surprisingly, he's a bad guy because he's not really a bad guy in the games. He's kind of just there. Is DJ from Jamaica, Yaman, who is very stereotypical black person in Street Fighter 2.
Everyone is a stereotype in this movie.
True. Well, like, I'm just talking about more so of the arcade game. Just go look at him and just like, oh, God, that would not fly now.
No, you would get letters from upset parents like, that is not who we are. And, you know.
But, nobody thought about it, I think, because DJ was also awesome to play. And the next guy, who is possibly everybody's bane of existence, which was the Geef, Zangief from Russia. That's one of the things I like about Street Fighter, is that they told you who they, like, the characters' names, they all had cool names, and they were all from different countries, and their countries sort of represented what kind of fighting style they had.
I'm pretty sure they mentioned Zangief wrestled with bears.
Oh, yeah, that's bears. How he gets his training.
He fights bears to train. I'm like, that is so Russian, it's not even funny, you know?
All right. Well, I guess I'll answer that question. And Zangief has the best comic relief, and he looks like Zangief.
Look, there's a reason why when they made Wreck-It Ralph, they chose Zangief to be the one Street Fighter stereotype character to throw in there. Because Zangief, even when he's in a he can be funny without really trying to be, you know. Just because you're a bad guy, not make you bad guy.
Also, that is Balrog, who is a good guy here.
Balrog!
Yeah, who doesn't love Balrog? So my favorite Street Fighter move probably would have to be like the Sonic Boom, you know, there's something like about that noise Guile makes, or either that or Tiger Uppercut or Tiger Knee from Sagat. I know I'm saying Street Fighter 2 moves because like the Street Fighter Alpha, the Street Fighter 3, Street Fighter 4, but like it all boils down to Street Fighter 2.
Oh yeah, that's the one everybody, whether they know it or not, refers back to Street Fighter 2 when talking about the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, jeez. Also, can we take a brief aside? I mean, we were talking...
It's fast.
Yeah, no kidding. We're talking about its impact and stuff, and can we just talk about the impact of Guile's theme? Since this is a Guile-centered movie.
Oh, yeah, I mean, like I think everybody knows about this, that like if you take Guile's stage from Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo? Sorry, because like there's some variations of Guile's theme vary from versions of Street Fighter 2, so I'm pretty sure it's Turbo, or Hyper Fighting, one or the other. But you could probably sync it with this podcast, and it would match. I guarantee it. It goes with everything.
Almost guaranteed.
Also, not very incognito. China,
yeah, I like how she's slipping out in a black onesie in the middle of the day at a security checkpoint.
It's like 5 in the afternoon. What are you doing?
Who did not see her? Ah, God. This
must have good surveillance technology.
Or she's just that stealthy. I mean,
probably.
Who knows? But who wouldn't be looking for Ming-Na Wen in a crowd, honestly? I look for her every day, and I never see her.
God damn it. God help me when you go to a con that she's at. God help her. I'm just going to make a sorry.
It's going to be like that scene with Borat and Pamela Anderson.
Oh, God.
With the marriage sack.
Jesus Christ. I guarantee you she gets proposals at cons all the time.
Oh, I almost guarantee
Like, that's kind of wrong to do to her, but I guarantee you she, like sadly has to deal with a bunch of, like, guys who just, marry me.
Nah.
You're so pretty.
Yeah, I mean, first, she is so pretty, but I don't think my girlfriend would approve.
You can admire other women and other men, even if you're in a relationship. There's nothing wrong with admiration.
No, very true. I mean, I can admire her from afar and maintain my confidence in our relationship. We were just talking the other day. What is it? We were talking about Mad Men, because she's big into Mad Men. She's trying to get me to start Mad Men.
Does she have the hots for Don Draper?
Actually, she has the hots for Christine Hendricks' character, the redhead Joan.
Oh, Joan, the bitch.
We both just agree that, damn, she is va-va-boom.
No, she's hot. She's very, very attractive. And then when she opens her mouth, it's like, oh, God, you're a whore.
Yeah, she's the forceful personality, and that doesn't always go over so well. Even on the show, even when I'm watching it, I give her more credit than I think she's due. But, you know, the point is, we can talk. Because then, back when we first saw Civil War...
Oh, shit. God's alive.
Oh, shit.
Buzz, I didn't die.
I like how he does, like, the dead man sit-up, too, which is fantastic.
Oh, yeah, that's great. You think somebody else in the crowd would have noticed something.
You would think so. Such a crude device.
Well, whatever, it was the 90s. And this movie was probably didn't have the biggest budget, despite that everything.
It was cardboard and electrical tape, though. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you expect to see when you have no other resources available. This guy works for the stand-in United Nations. You'd think he'd have all the resources he would need, you know?
Well, he's also probably in Southeast Asia, so he's there. No, it has to be Thailand because that's where Bison Station. So, and the temple is very like Thailand.
I don't think they got specific. I don't know.
They just say Shadaloos, but I'm just gonna assume it's like near.
In the
like
Southeast Asian nation of Shadaloon City, which doesn't make sense because why would a nation be a city?
Yeah, it's probably Thailand, and the city is Shadaloo, like the city is made up.
Yeah, let's just say it's Southeast Asia.
Oh, it's not your personal vendetta, but guy, you're perfectly fine with waging your own personal vendetta.
Not about a personal vendetta.
By the way, it's interesting because earlier we were talking over it, but like his friend is kidnapped. Spoilers: he becomes Blanka. In Street Fighter II, if you beat Gaz ending, he refers to avenging his friend Charlie Nash. Now, in Street Fighter II, he's just known as Charlie. Then in Street Fighter Alpha, you see his actual friend, and he's just called Nash. So there's a lot of confusion there, and only recently did they confirm it that his full name is indeed Charlie Nash. Which led character people thought that, like, Charlie, because you don't know what happens to Charlie, because Street Fighter Alpha caught. Okay, here's a breakdown of how Street Fighter handles timeline wise, if you're ever curious. It's Street Fighter Alpha, or Street Fighter Zero in Japan, Street Fighter 1, Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 4, Street Fighter 5, then Street Fighter 3. Street Fighter 3 is the last in the timeline.
Jeez, it's like the camp from Raiders of the Lost Ark meets Mad Max.
Oh, in this sequence right here?
Yeah.
You did think Sagat would have spot that this was the camera crew for GTV or whatever they're working for?
Mm-hmm.
Like, are they not bright? Does Bison not get cable?
I honestly don't know. Does the lid on that char say Capcom, too? I think I might have missed it.
No, I didn't see. I just see Barnum and Bailey.
All right. No.
They're having a good old time.
Oh. Yes, do it. Oh. Magic.
And Ken is just adore. I mean, who wouldn't be adore with Chun-Li in that outfit?
Honestly. Oh, Ken. Seriously. What do you think of Ken's legacy being the second string to Ryu?
I mean, he's second string to Ryu, but he's still admirable in his own right, you know? Yeah. Like, he's not bad. Like the thing about Ken is that here's how you know the difference between Ken and Ryu. Ryu has the better Hadoukens, Ken has the better Shoryukens. There you go. And there's nothing more painful than getting, when you're playing Street Fighter, and an out of nowhere flaming uppercut. Because Ken can just do that. Ryu can do it, it's just Ken's better at it.
Yeah.
So they both have the strength of weaknesses.
I was thinking to myself, you know, first I thought Ken kind of got shortchanged in terms of a legacy, if only because, you know.
Oh, he has his own thing, though. Like, he has a family, like, he's.
Well, no, hang on, all right? I'm just saying, in the grand scheme of things, at first, I thought he was shortchanged because you've seen the legacy of other palette swaps and basic knockoffs and stuff, you know, like.
Well, the other pair is Scorpion Sub-Zero, and both of those guys are doing well.
Yeah, exactly, that's what I'm saying. But then, you think about other fighting games and their palette swaps, and you almost think Sub-Zero is the exception that proves the rule to Scorpion, you know?
All the ninjas really in Mortal Kombat.
Mm.
Which, by the way, go listen to our Mortal Kombat and Mortal Kombat Annihilation commentary that I did with Mr. Dragon.
Oh, you did Mortal Kombat?
Both of them. We did both of them already.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I've been wanting to do Street Fighter for a long time. But you feel that Ken, like, overall, like, his placement in Street Fighter is pretty set.
Yeah, I think he's pretty solid. I mean,
he's like one of the characters you know.
Did Mingan just try to stab him and like miss?
No, I don't believe so.
All right. this. M. Bison hands the man a briefcase full of money with his own face on it.
I always loved that idea of Bison dollars.
Bison dollars is worth 5 British pounds.
I want... Can you do me a favor? Can you see how much Bison dollars actually go for?
Bison dollars?
Like, can you buy Bison dollars, like, just as, like, memorabilia? There's gotta... Somebody has to have Bison dollars.
Yeah, they have to have sold off the merch from this movie pretty quick. I mean, honestly. You raving lunatic! Rah!
Oh, Sagat is great in this scene. It's just so weird for me to see... burn that money. See, if this was Game Bison, he would just Psycho Crusher, you're done. Bison is, like, I kind of glad they didn't make Bison like he is in the games, because Bison's pretty much just, like, evil. Like, he's just evil. In fact, I think, like, his thing, the Psycho Power, pretty much burns his body away, and he, in order to stay alive, he transports his consciousness into another body. So... And he was, and then I think in Street Fighter 2, he tries to put his consciousness into Ryu. Oh shit! Gang fight. Gotta have a plan for everything.
Can't back me up.
That being said, it's very intimidating to be across, like, in the middle of potentially a gang feud right now.
Yeah, admittedly it is kind of
just like how they're trying to bullshit their way out of it. I just find it really amusing.
Okay, so I'm looking, and you can get stickers made of Bison dollars. Aww. You can get t-shirts with a Bison dollar on them. You can get throw pillows, phone cases, all with the Bison dollar pattern. And in the official licensed Street Fighter Monopoly, Bison dollars is what's on the $100 bill for currency.
All right, that's how we get Bison dollars. I want Bison dollars. Are we getting about to see the greatest line from this movie? From the Geef? You think they would have moved? They know it's coming.
Yeah, it's not subtle. No, it's not subtle. It's patently obvious. Wait.
And they just look at him like, what the f-? I feel like that was just like a...
That wasn't planned. No, that had to be him like ad-libbing. And that, like, line is so much better than the rest of this movie.
Oh, yeah. And he's looking at him like, what the fuck? Geef is hilarious. Geef is kind of an idiot, though, and I love it.
He is, but it works for him, you know? Oh, so good. Quick! Change the gym!
Yeah, see, look, they're in Thailand. Look at the mountain.
Okay, yeah.
Look at the region. They have to be in Thailand.
The Shandaloo Mountains?
Shadaloo. Yeah.
Shadaloo. However you pronounce it.
It doesn't really matter. I wish they would have just called it, like, Shadow Law. That's the organization that, in the video games, that Bison runs. They don't really have a name in this. They're just Bison's cronies. Oh, look at that. The dictator loves you guys.
Aww.
What we're looking at is what Donald Trump's presidency will look like in 2017.
You have earned the favor of this homicidal maniac. Congratulations. Did they even bother showing how they captured them?
They just got them.
I feel like I blink and I miss something.
They just cut. They somehow captured them. Like, for no fucking reason other than... Well, they caught him. It's just like I feel like there was a scene cut.
Let's just cut to the chase and show them captured. That's all it takes.
We need to put Ming-Nan Wei in bracelets. So just have her caught. It doesn't matter. Nobody's going to question it.
But it's such a sharp tonal shift, because on the one hand, the last scene, you have them getting one up on M. Bison and Zangief and stuff. And then
they seemingly got away.
One scene break later, and suddenly M. Bison and Zangief are back on top, and you have the people who did it captured. And yeah. It's like, did you... Oh, she's spitting your face, dog.
Yeah, she's not happy.
Yeah, no. But it's such a... Like, there has to have been something lost in the editing room floor. You know?
You guys aren't good guys. You guys are arms dealers. Stop. Like, come on.
You are not the good guys. Don't pretend to
be
something.
You don't even do a Hidoken in this movie.
Ugh, don't even remind me.
Oh, it's just a flash of... Well, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Let me just say, as a kid, I was supremely disappointed, even then.
Oh,
I was
just... Yeah, trust me.
Can I just say, after I learned that Guile was part of the inspiration for Lieutenant Surge, or I'm thinking, because he came first, because he came in...
Guile came in 91.
Yeah, Guile came in 91, and the first Pokemon didn't hit until, I think,
95.
So, yeah. So, Guile inspired...
No, 96. I'm sorry. But whatever. It's 5 years later, after.
Yeah. So, Guile inspired, in part, Lieutenant Surge and Pokemon, and all I think about is just Lieutenant Surge being dubbed with Jean-Claude Van Damme one-liners from the 80s and 90s, and that is, like, something I desperately want to see happen in a fan video that I don't think I've ever seen or anybody get around
somebody
to.
Somebody take that idea. Just discredit us. Discredit Brian, rather. He's the one who came.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That's a skull. And for some reason, we get torture.
And let me show you how...
For some reason, I mean.
Let me show you how we treat foreigners. Yet another Donald Trump campaign quote.
Yeah, goddammit. Donald Trump is secretly M. Bison. That's what he is. I'm fully believe that there's a whole bunch of crazy shit going on in the world that we don't see.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm not a conspiracy nut that they're hiding and stuff, but the people who are doing it are hiding it from us because they don't want to know. Because they were just like, okay, I don't need this in my life. I don't need to know that there are guys who can do flaming uppercuts. That's just too much.
Oof.
That was a stiff right cross.
Hell yes.
So you play Street Fighter 3, right?
Oh yeah. Right.
So you remember Dudley then? The English gutta trash.
Gutta trash.
I want Dudley to be in a Street Fighter movie. If they ever do another one, screw Balrog. I like Dudley so much better as a boxer because he's just like that pompous ass gentleman. Throws roses at you and then beats your ass.
If they do ever bring him back, I want them to make him like one of those like fedora wearing meninists from like Reddit where he greets
he wouldn't be that.
Greets every woman, m'lady, as he tips his hat to them.
No, he's just a gentleman. He wouldn't be a meninist. He's just an old supreme gentleman who thinks you're below him.
Yeah. I'm just saying it's maybe like a palette swap thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, I guess. That'd be funny.
Or the... Oh, jeez.
Yeah, now we can see how they get their red and white geese.
The asinine way they get their karate geese.
And they're just generic Shadaloo training geese.
Yeah, everybody has one.
I mean, granted, they're generic geese anyways, but because they train with their master, it felt unique to them, but, like, it's like... Nah, just generic-ass training geese in Shadaloo. Also, how he gives thumbs up. Or sigh. I want to make that a thing again so bad. But I feel like if I do that, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
You'd be making a reference to a pretty bad movie from the friggin' 90s.
Oh, yeah. You know, I still want to bring Cowabunga back as a normal saying.
You might have a better chance with that because of the presence of the Turtles in the popular consciousness.
Yeah. No. I'd rather have people say Cowabunga than Lit Fam or Turnt.
Oh, Jesus.
Also, here we are. Guile, we said that Zangief had the best line in the movie, and we already we haven't talked about M. Bison's other speech, but this is the second best speech in this movie, entire movie.
Oh yes, this is the most iconic, I think, part of.
Oh
this
yeah,
movie.
This is Jean-Claude Van Damme's best acting moment in this movie.
We can go home.
Also, this guy just this guy perfectly plays that squirmy bureaucrat.
I like how he says negotiates. Yeah, like, he's like, not even trying to pronounce it correctly.
I'm
just
fancy. I'm above you. We can't fight Bison. We're gonna pay him.
Look at my glasses. I can look down my nose at you.
Also, Guile's right. Like, you can't just give in to a terrorist's demands, because then the terrorist knows, well, I have you beat. I'll just demand more next time.
You've lost your balls. Yeah, pretty much. Honestly, if they were ever going to do, like, a redo, they should just have this guy show up again and then just have him call somebody gutter trash and just walk away. And you'll be like, holy shit! That was Dudley. That dude? You know?
Well, not him, because Dudley's black, so.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, here it comes. I kind of want to be silent for this portion. But, like, I feel like you see people quote this over and over. Or, we can go home.
We can go home.
I feel like you can apply. You can. This is a scene. It's so ridiculous. This speech is so ridiculous that you can take things out of, like, say, you're graduating from high school. We can finish this secret project. Or we can go home. We can take that field. Or we can go home. And just apply it. That's how silly and stupid this speech is. But it's also inspirational as fuck. So that's all that matters.
I have a running list in my head. Getting my butt. God, his accent was so thick in this.
It's, oh, yeah.
Son of a bitch.
He's American?
Jeez.
Side note, so we were talking about the video games. Did you ever play Street Fighter... the movie, the game? Did you ever play
no,
that?
No, I missed that one.
It's horrible. Like, it is... It's basically... like, you know how Mortal Kombat used to do the first three, right? Where they were digitized actors?
Yeah.
That's basically what they did for the game. And it is so bad. It's just like... I played it on the Sega Saturn, but if you ever played the arcade version, it's ridiculous.
Why that woman was running around with her shoe off, I'll never understand.
I don't know. Like, why? I guarantee she brought, like she was probably new to the director or producer, and, like, here, we'll give you 1 second of screen time. There you go.
Yeah, right. This definitely feels like one of those movies they would host a contest to give you a person a cameo, and it turns out being way more significant because they need to pad the runtime, you know? Probably. And I like how everyone else has, like, submersible craft, but he gets, like, the metal plated warboat, you know?
Yeah, because he's Colonel fucking Guile.
Hell yeah. William Guile, which is just such a silly name.
I never adjusted for his first name. It's just Guile. Or Guile.
Guile.
That is a nice looking boat craft, though.
It really is. It looks like something they'd use in Batman, you know?
What wasn't
like,
this in the game? Give me a boat riding section in the next Street Fighter game.
Right? Oh, and look at the stuffy suits who are just like, well, I never... As they're blasting in the face.
Guess
you know,
they're not going to go home.
We have orders. You're leading a military coup. And it's like, well, you know.
We got to go stop the evil dictator. Otherwise, he's never going to stop.
Yeah, man.
Is Bison even a dictator at this point? By the way, the Napoleon Bison right there.
The portrait is fantastic.
I want that portrait. And now we have Chun-Li in her somewhat... traditional costume. Like, she has the buns.
Yeah, I mean, is it a palette swap that we're talking about here, where she just has a red outfit instead?
I mean, she has, like, it's just a simple color palette, but, like, I mean, her original dress is just, like, a Chinese sort of dress, so it's similar, but I wish it was blue. Like, it could have been baby blue.
It's taken that much more effort to just color it similarly to, you know, how it was in the games.
Well, I think the reason it's not blue is because Bison gave it to her and probably forced her to wear it, so it makes sense that it's red, but I wish it was blue so bad. Look at that jacket he has! Bison is smooth as fuck. Look at this.
I see it, man. If ever there was a guy who was supposed to be the rule of the world, it's Raul Julia.
It's Raul Julia as M. Bison. Can we vote him? Can we resurrect him and put him as a Republican nominee? I will vote
for a write-in vote campaign for...
Oh, hell yeah. Raul Julia as M. Bison.
Yes, Iggy. The election results are coming in, and it would seem that, yes, Raul Julia has clinched the presidency.
But yes, he's dead. It doesn't matter. Oh, there it is.
He has.
But for me, it was Tuesday.
Raul Julia, deceased since 1994, has won the American presidency.
That's how much more Raul Julia is popular than any of the presidential candidates right now.
Seeing as how, however, he has been deceased for many years, it will go to his VP nominee, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, Jean-Claude Van Damme would be an excellent president.
Jean-Claude Van Damme is now president of the United
States. Wait, he can't be president because he's not from America.
Yeah, very true. That would.
So why we can't vote for Arnold to be president.
Oh,
Arnold would be some. He's from Austria, isn't he?
Yeah, Austria.
God, Balrog has shitty ass ears. Ken's had enough of this shit.
Also, I like how whenever they pan to Honda, you have the little Hawaiian instrumental tune that plays over his face.
Like, also, like, hey, in case you forgot, he's not Japanese. He's Hawaiian.
We made him a Polynesian character in this one.
I don't know why. Like, it's not bad, because Honda's just a sumo wrestler, but still, would have been nice to have another Asian actor outside of Ming Na Wen and the guy who plays Ryu, whose name I'm forgetting.
Yeah, what's his name?
Oh, does he want to have relations with Chun-Li?
I think he set the mood, a little ambiance, a little mood lighting.
The lighting, everything, that fucking dapper-ass coat. Look at that, those eyes. Like, I'm gonna tap that ass. I killed your father.
Hey, let's be real here for 1 second, all right? When Raul Julia wasn't conquering the World's End Bison, he was being smooth as fuck as Gomez in fucking The Addams
yes.
Family.
Yes, right? That's another movie I need to do as a commentary. Take a shot, listeners. I list another movie that we should do a commentary. That's a running joke.
I didn't realize that the guy who plays Ryu played Yao Fei in Arrow. I didn't know that.
Huh.
That's cool,
doesn't look
man.
A thing like him. Holy shit.
Green Arrow was mentored by fucking Ryu from Street Fighter.
He got better. He clearly got better. I wonder if anybody tells him that like at cons, if he goes to cons. Hey, you were Ryu! No, I wasn't. We don't talk about that.
man. I thought for... Yeah. No.
Also, look in the back. You can see in the back the Picasso painting of Bison on the left. That is hilarious.
Oh, but freaking sad clown painting, though. Oh, let's be real here. I mean...
But, Doctor, I am an bison.
I'm supposed to conquer the world, but I'm just too sad.
Oh, I love this right here. Hashtag female empowerment, bitches. Isn't that a horrible wire work? That was horrible. I'm gonna float.
It was the 90s. It was a different time.
Damn, she was gonna rip his eyes out. Jesus. Huh. Well, you could go up to the door. I mean, nothing's stopping you. Nothing's stopping you, Honda.
You can escape. He didn't block the exit.
Yeah,
oh, no.
He's just right there. Like, Chun-Li's not preventing you, dude.
At time. God, oh, it, well. Go, Honda. Oh. And the fire just lights
up. Just like a big fuck you. Oh, I love that shot of how it's the skull, and then you're zooming on his grinning-ass evil face. That's too funny.
Yes.
I want to believe Raul Julia just said fuck it. By the way, I never asked this. What did he die of?
Raul Julia. Hold on a second. I'll pull up.
Like, I know he died, but he's not, like, looking at this movie, he wasn't that old.
No, he wasn't old when he passed. He was only 54 years old when he died.
Yeah, that's really young.
He died from complications from a stroke.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he looks great.
Yeah, especially considering that this last movie he did as a request for his kids because they love Street Fighter so much. That was the only reason he took this role, to appease his children.
Yeah, I want to hope that he enjoyed it because it looks like he's just hamming it up.
The friggin' music. Like, honestly.
Oh, look at that, kids. Ancient technology. A cassette tape. Oh, God. Remember when cars used to have those? Oh, that wasn't a cassette tape. Whatever. You know what I mean. A VHS player, kids. Brian, there's going to be a whole generation of kids that... Probably my nieces and nephews. My niece and my nephews who don't know what that is. And that scares the living shit out of me.
It's just the passing of the time, man, you know?
I don't like it.
As we get older...
I knew what an 8-track was, though.
Yeah, well, that's because that's like the stereotypical, like, oh, you're so old, you probably know what an 8-track player is. You know, that's one of those things.
Like, Jesus.
Oh, jeez. Freaking Charlie.
Video quality got better.
Yeah.
Remember we used to rewind on this on VHS, and if you rewind it too much, and the tape would mess up, and it's unwatchable?
Yeah.
That was the worst.
Never mind the fact when you got a... tape cassette messed up. You had to put the bring a pencil in to sort of wind it back and try to straighten it out and stuff. And God help you if you got that cord tangled, because you ain't getting that tape back.
Oh yeah. By the way, you weren't here for this, but I want to mention the last commentary we did last week, Dragon and I did, was Toy Soldiers, and we couldn't help but reminisce about ancient technology as well. So that's two in a row.
Wait, what was the movie you did?
We did not Toy Soldiers, Small Soldiers.
Oh, I love Small Soldiers.
Yeah, that's already
man.
Up by the time. So go listen to that if you haven't listened to that.
Archer was my dude back in the day, man.
Voiced by Frank Langella, by the way.
Honestly, like, and who, and Tommy Lee Edwards, or Tommy Lee Jones, rather. What is
yeah,
Tommy
as,
Lee
as
Edwards?
The other character.
Yeah.
Also
as
interesting that Sarge. Like, this is, if you can't tell, this is Blanca.
Yeah.
This is Blanca, who is Bison's secret weapon. Did you like playing as Blanca back in the day?
I purposely avoided it. I didn't typically go for Blanca.
You like the
I only
the
played him
ball.
when it was absolutely necessary. I wasn't a fan. I mean, I'm much more stuck towards Chun-Li. I was pretty good with Chun-Li. Of course, Ryu, everybody knew how to play Ryu. But
Ryu's the simple character.
Yeah, exactly. So you kind of start with him and you work your way up. But I liked Chun-Li. I liked Ryu. Oh, God. And I was okay with Guile. I wanted to be better with Guile than I was, you know?
Yeah.
But friggin' Vega. Just looking fabulous with his hair.
You almost defeated me. But my suaveness prevented you. How do you prevent
you
this?
Wanted to try to conquer me, but I keep my pimp hand strong, children.
I feel like Raul Julia images should be memes. Like his, like the facial reactions that he has. I know Game Over is a meme. Game Over, which we're about
what
to get
is
into
it?
A bit.
I'm not sure how well versed you are with Nostalgia Critic, but for the longest time, he had Raul Julia screaming, "Of course!"
Oh, yeah, there's that.
Meme. Yeah.
Yeah, there's that, too. Of course.
But I get what you're saying, though. I mean, you know. But anything could be a meme nowadays, you know?
Yeah, but I want it to be a good meme.
You want it to be quality memes? Like a SpongeBob caveman?
Like, whatever
meme.
That Dat Boy shit is. Like, how is that a funny meme?
What up? Yeah.
Oh, look, there's DJ's Jamaican accent.
Something very strange.
Yeah, man. I like how they can't tell nothing's moving in the water.
I know. Like, something is clearly in the water.
Also, that's horrible CGI covering that boat.
Yeah.
That is bad CGI.
If they already knew you were there, it's on a... you might as well fail, because they know...
I mean, just look at the window. The water's moving. That's all you gotta do. That's visual confirmation that it's
there. Knew you were coming when you blasted their radar stations.
Exactly. Like, I don't know why... Like, I guess they had to destroy it so they wouldn't be detected, but you're gonna be detected anyway, so what's the point?
You would have been better just going submersible or going airborne. Honestly.
Oh, look, we're going to try to kill Guile for the second time in this movie.
Yeah, but it's totally going to work this time, Ben. I mean, come on.
You think after the first round finished firing, they would know it doesn't work?
You would think so.
Hey, Boogeyman, it's me. I'm alive.
Your ass is 6 months overdue.
I love that. That's such a great line.
Of course!
There it is. Take a shot! We owed the South Critic for 20 cents.
I guess you didn't see that.
That's a big fucking... God damn it.
Seriously.
You just got burned, Sagat.
M. Bison's got the sickest burns. But now, knowing I think about it, this dude should have conquered the world. I think he would have been better off for it, honestly. I think so.
By the way, I want you to pay attention to his console that he's about to use right here.
Okay, I'm watching.
Or as soon as it cuts away. I love his little battle station that he has. So awesome.
Of this battle station.
What you don't know, Mrs. Zhang, is I'm a button push. I'm a button smasher. That is the actual arcade cab, like what you played on the original Street Fighter 2. That's the exact same board.
They still have the directional pad and like the joystick and everything attached. Yes. And it's just, my God.
Even the six buttons for heavy. Light kick, heavy kick, medium kick, heavy kick, hard kick, hard punch. Which, by the way, I can't play on an arcade stick. I've tried. I went to an actual arcade to play, and I just can't do it. I'm just so used to playing on a controller. But I've met people who are really good at playing on arcade sticks, and it's so fucking fun to see them play like that.
Yeah.
And arcade sticks are expensive. They're like, if you want a good one, you're going to pay at least $100.
Yeah, because you're sacrificing what is in a modern controller for older technology inherently, you know.
Well, they're newly built, but like so that way like they're more like I don't know if they're more precise or anything like that, but it's to replicate that arcade experience. I mean, that's what they were built for the quarter circle motions. It just feels more native to do something like that versus pressing L2, R2 on a controller or triangle, and then using a shitty-ass joystick like the Xbox 360 controller. Which is what I have to use. Also, I don't think we mentioned, but that's Dhalsim.
I didn't get that the first time around. Oh! That fall was terrible!
You took out Mario, you son of a bitch!
Oh, that was terrible. That whole thing was just...
Just know, kids, if you just gently get thrown into something, it's going to cause massive explosions. So
well, I like how first he put his hands up and flinched, and then he started tumbling away. Like, there's a split-second wait of it, and he tumbles way farther and more heavily than he really rightfully should have. You know, one of those...
Oh, that's here called comes not Blanca. Choreographing your fights very well. Oh, here comes Blanca, and he looks awful.
He does. He looks like Shrek.
This is where the Shrek producers got their inspiration from. Blanca's supposed to be this intimidating beast. He just looks like somebody who has Down syndrome. I'm sorry, but that's what he looks like. That's the thing, that a person with Down syndrome can't be intimidating, but he just looks outright silly.
He looks like Jim Carrey from The Mask. Yeah. That's what he looks
but
like.
But not as funny.
You know?
Not nearly as entertaining, but he just looks stupid. Granted, Blanca doesn't really look that serious to begin with. It's not supposed to be serious to begin with, but still, you could have done better. Fuck you guys, I'm just irrelevant.
Cammy and her thighs of steel.
Yeah. I feel like that's the only call. By the way, she was lying on her back. They cut to her then standing up, right crossing a guy, and then she's on the ground again. Somebody doesn't know how to edit.
Yeah. Continuity. Your editing lacks it. Yeah, I sure you did, stuffy British guy.
Look, it's just a cook. He's just waiting. Oh, now so a cat. I never noticed that cat was there before. We have to identify that he's T-Hawk, so we put him in, we gave him a headband to make him look Native American.
I like how it's told in like an off, like it's told like that, in a faded whisper or whatever.
I guarantee
you, know?
You that was not like what they initially said. They probably had no dialogue, and somebody was, that was probably in ADR or was when they did that.
They were like, should we just like throw something in for like,
why
you
does
know,
he have
identifying
it?
Him?
Because we're gonna explain this. We're not gonna explain how Chun-Li and Chun-Li, Honda, and Balrog were caught. But we'll explain why T-Hawk is a headband.
A headband gets more consideration than three characters.
Exactly. Oh, God. That's a huge-ass spider.
It was a tarantula.
Well, luckily, those things, like, if they bite, I don't think they can poison you. I know they have very poisonous, but I don't think they can actually, their fangs can't pierce that deep.
I don't think so. And it really depends on the spider, because then you have ones who don't it just bite you, you know, like they have ones that do trap doors and ones that set, you know,
the smaller ones are the ones you want to be wary of. The bigger ones are scarier, but the smaller ones are the ones that pack the most venom and can kill you.
Chun-Li Zhang, her news crew, who are all trained fighters, like
you think they'd be okay?
Yeah, you would think so. If only we knew how they got caught.
That's a lot of money, by the way. And of course he has a Swiss bank account.
And that, never mind, I mean, that's 1994 money right
oh,
there.
Yeah.
I like how when they comes up zero, there's a buzzer attached to it, too. Like, you got the question wrong. How much money is in my bank account?
DJ's like, hell no, General. Oh, now Cammy's looking a little bit more traditional.
Everyone gradually gets their costumes. Like,
yeah,
it's,
just
it's
for
not,
some fucking reason. That
it's
being
just
said,
a
though,
gradual thing, you know?
I don't think they like, I would love to see Cammy in a movie with that ridiculous unitard she wears where, like, literally you can see up her ass.
It's standard uniform. Like, is it? Is it?
No, but she fucking, it's maneuverability. It's a sexist costume, but it's like, that's Cammy. Dead ass. I feel like he can see. Maybe it's just us, but I feel like there's enough blue for him to see.
It looks like there's enough flickering light that it can be like, hey, you don't need a flashlight.
Also, I feel like they could have, like, maybe darkened the set a little bit to actually make it look like he can't actually see. But I feel like his field of vision's perfectly fine.
Yeah. Also, I wanted that fish tank as a kid. Like, I wanted that in my room, honestly.
Who doesn't want a big-ass fish tank?
It's very true.
It's very soothing. And fish don't make noise.
Nah, but you gotta clean the tank and... Oh,
that's
here's Blanca.
Oh, God. Don't show Blanca. By the way, Blanca in the Street Fighter, the movie, the game, he's not green skin. He's just, like, just white, but with, like, the ridiculous hair and the big forehead. Looks ridiculous. Even he even looks stupider, his animation, when he does his rolling ball. It's just like, what the fuck were you guys... Why did you make this?
Gaio, friend.
I mean, like, this is pretty accurate. Yeah, this is where people thought initially in the... Because the movie does it first, because they initially thought that... Because he's talking about Charlie, I avenge you, my friend Charlie. We don't know who Charlie actually is, so people thought that when they saw Nash and Guile and Alpha, that Nash becomes Blanca, when in fact Nash just gets killed by Bison. Or betrayed by the government. Or some other reason. But either way, Nash is dead and that's all that matters. But he's alive again. Like, he's zombified, but he's alive.
You have no right.
That's kind of fucked up, though. Like, guy was just like, well, you look different now. Gonna have to kill you. I love how he's hamming it up.
I know.
Just go.
He's like, he has to know what's happening with this movie. He had, if no one else knew, he has to be the only one who knows.
Yeah. Because you can tell Jean-Claude Van Damme is trying so hard to play straight. So hard to play straight.
Like, almost to his detriment in the sense that it's not funny enough, you know?
Yeah. It's funny in the sense that he's trying too hard, not naturally funny like how Raul Julia is being.
Meanwhile, Raul Julia is a seasoned actor who worked on and off Broadway. He's been in all sorts of theater companies, and he's an actor's actor. He is an actor in the sense of an artist, and he is playing fucking Bison in the Street Fighter.
That means that who played what was his name that played Bison in Legend of Chun-Li? Kevin
McDonough. Oh, that's Neil McDonough.
Yeah,
Neil
I feel like he could have done, like, in terms of intimidation, that was Bison. Like,
yeah,
just pure intimidation, that was Bison. But looks and everything else.
I know you don't watch Arrow, but he was actually just in Arrow. He finished off a season-long arc as the villain over there. Yes, he was.
Okay, I didn't watch it, but I like just reading Twitter and stuff like
and
that.
And he was probably one of the highlights of that last season.
Oh, hold on, we're about to get an awesome fucking flying kick.
Here we go.
The slow reveal. It's kind of stupid because we know it's not Blanca. Oh god, that wire that. Work. And then just that quick cut to the kick.
Like, we can't show him actually covering that distance, so what do we do?
Just quick cut to it. Because the wire work probably, they probably like, the wire work, he probably like spun out or something just shortly after they launched them.
Yeah, probably. Kicks the console.
Just fuck you. Just fuck you and your console. Guy, you might want to get behind cover. He's just that much of a badass. He gives no fucks.
Throws a fucking... Just, wow, that God, is the worst kidding, place to throw and fall in the history of bad guys.
Yep. I feel like they repeat this shot over and over again. Like, this shot of the soldiers just shooting them, I feel like we're going to see that several times. Don't ask me why, I just know. Also, Balrog is getting into his costume, too. You can see the traditional sort of...
He's shedding his clothing.
Yeah.
He's... The hostages.
Geese is still in a costume. Honda's getting there, though. He even has his little eye markings.
Oh, yeah.
He does this little Honda neck thing. That's a nice little nod. I like that. I genuinely like the fight between these two.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty decent fight because it's the two biggest guys, arguably, in the movie who are going at it, and that's always fun. But I like how they have like a straight like intimidation competition right before they start going at each other. It's just, screaming and posing and stuff, and
it's great. You wouldn't have that in a real war, but fuck it, it's Street Fighter. Let's do this.
They have to do their pre-fight intros anyway, so
might as well. Oh, definitely.
Well,
that's the whole end of Honda's neck roll, was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Something with those kicks.
Yeah. And they both threw
They're floor. So heavy, they just crashed. By the way, I just love how the set is, so, like, they could have made it, like, where, like, they literally broke. No, it's just that one panel. Just that one panel they broke.
I like how Balrog punches them through the helmets to, like, knock them the fuck out.
Oh, yeah.
Also, Iggy, yes. I don't know how much you know about the actual United Nations, but they are nowhere near this well armed.
No, they're not supposed to, aren't they?
No, yeah, they're supposed to be like peacekeepers, impartial, not armed soldiers. But I just, because I keep comparing this in my mind. When I was in high school in a sociology class, what is it? I watched Hotel Rwanda with Don Cheadle, and the UN was pathetically inept in that one. Like, they couldn't help or do anything because they
were. They're packing heat.
Yeah, dude, they are packing WMDs and armored battleships and fully auto weapons, and it's just, like, obscene. And their best agents are, like, hand-to-hand trained to kick ass, and it's just...
By the way, they reused that Cammy leg kick twice. That shot twice. We need to pad the runtime. Do it!
Nice, they use it twice.
I believe she's not wearing pants anymore. I think if you rewind it, I'm not going to, but I believe you did. I don't think she's wearing pants anymore. She's officially in costume.
DJ, like, just sneaks off because he's like, yeah,
I'm Holmes, I'm out. DJ is not into. And where did she get a bazooka?
Like, hey, man, like you said, they're packing heat.
Also, by the way, it irks me how he pronounces his name. It's Ryu, not Ryu.
No, I keep going back.
Hello, it's Ryu. Actually, the actual Japanese pronounce is Ru. So there you go.
I have found something worthwhile. I don't understand.
The answer lies in the heart of battle. This is a little bit Ryu right here. He's being the noble one. So that's probably the most Ryu he acts.
Answered the higher calling, you know?
Yeah. Also, this intercutting is just horrible.
Yeah, it's terrible editing.
Although, yeah, we get this, though.
Break through a stone and steel wall.
Big boys.
How has nobody hit this guy?
They're like stormtroopers. They're just horrible at aims.
Honestly.
Shoot him now! Why wait?
Why are you waiting?
Like, seriously, he's the enemy combatant. Just put him in bullets. There's no reason to fucking wait. Oh. God damn it, Kyle.
Come on.
I love this. His deflated look. Like,
he's like, damn it, I thought I scared that was me. Them.
Part of me was thinking that was like they didn't tell him they were going to do that. And that was just all on accident. I want to believe that.
You know what? I think we can make that like a piece of trivia that some people will believe. Like, we could spread it as being true.
Oh, definitely. If the myth... what is it saying? If the myth becomes the legend... God, what
is
this?
If the fact becomes fiction, print the fiction. I think that's...
Something... It was not art. Fuck, what was his name? He did like a whole HBO special on that. I can't remember what it was, but...
If the fact becomes legend, print the legend.
Yeah, there you go. Which is why so many misconstrusions are helping. Oh, now he's costuming up now.
Yeah, buddy.
I just wish his overtop was green.
I know.
Like, would have that been that hard?
I know.
I get it that the UN, but Jesus. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Cammy's not wearing pants anymore. I can't tell. I'm pretty sure she's not wearing pants.
That's all awkwardly fit through them. Oh, she's wearing pants.
Okay. By the way, yeah, she's wearing pants. By the way, I wish we should just sit a world conflict like this. Fighter v. fighter. Just do it.
They show the flag on his shoulder.
I mean, Guile has that. So, like, that's a nice little touch. By the way, this guy right here, this Captain Sawada guy, I believe his voice in English is dubbed. So, but originally, he was supposed to be the star of the movie initially, like, in early scripts, and he was supposed to be Ryu.
Really?
Yeah, but, like of course, Hollywood's like, we can't have an Asian lead. Oh, this is a little great with the Godzilla sound effects. Is it racist that they have the Japanese people looking at that? Is that a little racist?
They kind of look befuddled by it, so they might be the only Japanese people who have never seen Godzilla.
No, I doubt that.
But it works better in my head if that's the way it happens.
So this is interesting because we actually have an actual martial artist in Jean-Claude Van Damme work with Raul Julia, and it looks like they tailor the fight so that Julia can actually be a part of it, you know, which is kind of cool.
Not for nothing, Jean-Claude Van Damme in the 90s was in his prime. He could have kicked all kinds of ass, you know. You know, he can kill him with swag, but that's about it, you know?
Yeah. God, I want those biceps. Look at those.
Muscles from Brussels, man. He's got it, you know?
I think he does this all in his own stunts, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he does. And not so much if he does them now, I don't know, but he used to.
Also, it is kind of disappointing how he's just basically making Bison his bitch.
A little bit, yeah.
By the way, that passive-ass kick Chun-Li did.
Yeah, and also, where did Balrog get the gloves from? Did he just have those on him?
It's a training room. I guarantee you there's boxing gloves there. And now he looks like Balrog. Everybody's in costume. Everybody's here, yay.
Everybody's officially in their costume. This is fantastic. Look at the little breakdance break they got there.
I think he does the flash kick right here, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, there it is. It doesn't light up, but whatever.
Yeah, wow. Do the explosions make up for it? I wonder.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he is fighting against Raul Julia, but good lord, Jean-Claude is ripped. Jesus.
Oh, yeah. This is primetime Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Is anybody you know currently who you would want to play Colonel Guile in another Street Fighter movie if they ever did it?
Right now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who would I envision as Guile?
Chris Hemsworth.
He's Australian, though.
He can do an American accent.
Honestly, my first thought when thinking of Guile is actually fucking Channing Tatum, of all people.
You know what? Fuck it. Do it. He can be bulky.
Channing Tatum is Guile.
Just have him play campy as fuck. Just have him say, go home and be in family, man. There you go. Fuck it. You hear it first. Channing Tatum is going to be in the next Street Fighter movie as Guile. Also, I don't know how this works. Because apparently that particular console is doing it to him.
He's got some volunteers on it.
Like the dead man, he rises.
Like, where was he waiting to use those until?
Well, I think he didn't get it until he, like, they electrified him.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have those I think this is supposed to be his psycho power, which is not this. He, like, it's pretty much just, like, negative evil energy that he uses as a weapon. Well, you were fool enough to join a terrorist organization, so you are kind of...
I know, right? What did he say? I should have stayed at Microsoft? Is that what he said?
Yeah, I should have stayed at Microsoft or something like that. That's so meta. Oh, Ken, you greedy bastard.
Come on, Ken.
Especially that statue's probably like worth $100. Maybe. Probably not even real gold. What is Ryu doing down there?
Looking to join the fight where he's nowhere near? Hang a Yui, amigo. Hey! Is he trying to sound like he's from fucking Brooklyn?
I think so. Well, Ken is from California. That's the thing. Oh, hey, Vega.
He puts the mask on just for emphasis.
He doesn't want to hurt his face.
His pretty face.
Yeah, he doesn't want to hurt his face. You fuck with his face, he will kill you. I mean, he's going to kill you regardless, but he...
Yeah.
You know. Is that where George R. R. Martin got the idea to call the mount... What is it that... The mounts of the world or whatever from Game of Thrones?
Saddle of the World. But yeah, I think the mount of the world or something like that.
Yeah, this is where we got it from. Confirmed. Oh god, that shitty wire work. Oh my god.
Yeah.
This is so horrible.
Yeah.
And this is like really the only fight sequence. And it's really passive aggressive fighting. That being said, though, I do enjoy that they have him using his legs and knees for Sagat, since he's a Muay Thai fighter, so it's not perfect, but I'm glad there's a nod to it.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this line.
Instead, you found a god, huh?
What? Sagat is the only one not in costume.
I know. And like, it's kind of disappointing.
Yeah. Like, when, just remove the shirt and put on some, like, some MMA shorts.
Speaking of removing your shirt, Ryu just whips his off like nobody's business.
Ryu, get ready, ladies. Ryu's pretty ripped, too. Like, he's more lean, though, but still. Like, the fighting's just, the camera work is just, there it is, Hadouken.
Yeah, not even, there it goes.
Not even a beam, it's just a flash of light.
Just, and they added a little cheesy sound effect to it as well.
Yeah. There's a little nod to Vegas rolling thing that he likes to do, so there you go.
Yeah.
That's actually gonna hurt like a bitch right there.
Yeah.
That metal right on top of him. Eek. He's got it in the face.
Nice, Ken. Way to go.
And there's the Shoryuken. There you go. Such a lame. They so underdid that.
Yeah, he even does a little like little runoff spin at the end that's just so underhanded.
He just turns around. Also, Vega got knocked the fuck out.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
You know what we didn't get in this movie, though? We don't get a Tatsumaki Senpukiya.
Yeah.
The whirling bird kick. I don't know how you would do that in real life, but I would have loved to have seen it.
Stone Cold Ken, way to tell him, boy.
You had to fight a guns dealer to not learn to become a guns dealer. Moral lessons, kid. Become a gun dealer, fight a gun dealer, and you won't become one.
It'll put you on your true path.
Oh, he's just hamming it up. I love it. He's channeling his, like, his Shakespeare, his Broadway roots. Just look at this.
Yeah, this is what you do when you have to... They show it three times. They like it so much.
Emphasis, baby. I wish it was a sonic boom, though. That's one of the things other movies we don't see. I wish it was a sonic boom.
You're off the air.
Oh, you can tell that was recorded later, though.
Oh, yeah, that's ADR all the way.
Well, Bison's dead. And Cammy's still wearing pants.
Yep.
I'm disappointed.
And Balrog just fixes things by punching them.
Isn't that how everybody should solve their things? Machine doesn't work, punch it.
Oh yeah, now we're back to the good stuff right here. This right here. It's Honda and Zangief
still going each other. They crack the concrete as they go. This is a game. Seriously, that guy is Zangief. I'm not sure that's a real man. But actually, he is a real man. And that actor actually went on to play Leatherface in the Texas Chainsaw Remake from 2003? 2004? Yeah, so there you go. That's who that is. And even has the scars, too, so that's like he looks like Zangief. Like, just get this goodbye again. Do that same haircut, and you got Geef.
I like how this all has to be explained to Zangief.
Yay. He never knew.
Our boss is bad guy? But does that make him bad guy?
I'm pretty sure that's where that line came from.
I love that.
That realization.
You got paid? This kid wasn't even getting paid to be the muscle for this
dude's operation. He probably liked Bison.
Somebody, if the writers like Drew Strauss, Zangief got the best comedic writer in that place.
Oh, definitely. Honestly. And the actor sells it. Like, it's just perfect humorism.
Oh, the hair stabs at each other while that's happening.
Yeah. Now we get to see Givin's flow galore, though.
Zangief!
Like, even has a little, like how Gamby has his chest hair. That's awesome. Such a fucking man. DJ, on the other hand, is just a DJ. That guy's not even ripped. He's just kind of, like, skinny.
Jamaica, here I come.
Oh, look, it's Zazim. Hm. Why can't you go back? Like, seriously. You know what this movie's teaching kids? If you look different, you should die in an explosion. That's what this is teaching kids.
Just go die in a cave.
You look ugly as fuck? Go in a cave. You look green? Go in a cave.
There are worse fates, though. In the Chun-Li movie, he's played by Chris Klein. So,
Blanca's in the Chun-Li movie?
Yeah, well, no. Charlie Nance.
Well, that's, yeah, well, yeah. Okay, yeah, that's right. Who is Chris Klein again?
Chris Klein played Oz in the American Pie series. He was the sporty jock kid.
And he was Nash. I remember that from the movie. I paid for that movie to go see that in theaters.
Seriously?
Yeah. I was excited with Street Fighter. It was Kristen Kirk. I wasn't really into looking online for things, and it looked like it could be a good movie, and then I was like, that was horrible. Yeah. I didn't walk out because I already paid the money, but still. And Cammy's still wearing... But she has her gauntlets, though, from the
she
game.
She does, so we're getting closer, you know.
No pants! She still has pants on.
She should really just do, like, the whole basketball pants thing and just rip them off at the end.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Balrog was doing. Just give her... Put her in her freaking one piece. That's what I want.
That's what we all want, Iggy. Deep down, it's what we all want.
That's fucked up. That is so fucked up. This is the UN! This is the fucking UN. They are treating the prisoners of war.
Hit him in the back of it. Oh, and I love how Zangief is just allowed to be with the good guys now.
Because he helped them, that's why.
Yeah, well.
Let's see, now Sagat has it. Look, and he has a scar.
Yeah, I see it.
By the way, in the games, Ryu gives him that scar in Street Fighter 1. So there you go. If you all want to know what that is.
There's your continuity.
Clearly doesn't happen here. Unless Ken's weak ass Shoryuken gives him that.
Yeah. I don't know why that would have, though. I mean...
No, it wouldn't have.
I'm going to have to wind it back and seriously check that, see if that's...
Because it looked like a fresh wound.
Hey, Guile! You're back!
And Cammy's still wearing pants.
Oh, for God's sake.
Maybe you open your own fighting dojo.
Maybe, huh?
They're like, that's my reaction when somebody asks, you want to join the army? No. I'm good.
Zangief.
I love that right there.
He considers it like, this does look better.
Yeah. And there's the bison dollars.
That's their severance pay.
I guarantee you, somebody who worked in this movie walked off with like a wad of those, and somebody has those. If you're listening to this, give me one. I just want one bison dollar.
We will pay you £5 for every bison dollar you supply us with.
Exactly. Also, a weird Chun-Li Guile romance.
That didn't amount or even begin until, like, right now.
Yeah, just because it's, like, super... Like, they're super sexy and they're... And explosions and cool guys that get explosions.
Yeah.
Another cute little moment coming up right now.
There it is.
Yeah, now they do their victory poses.
Victory pose.
See, and they cover up Cammy's ass! Why?
That's just an insult.
Alright. Alpha Raul Julia, Vaya con Dios. So, ladies and gentlemen, that does it for Street Fighter the movie. Final thoughts, Mr. Powers.
I still love this movie, man. It's goofy as fuck, and granted, I don't go out of my way to watch it, but whenever I do manage to somehow, because it comes back into my life way more than I think it rightfully should. But whenever it comes on, I am just more than okay to just sit down and watch this, because it is just endless fun. It's cheesy, it's poor wire work, it's all of that stuff, but it's also just, maybe it's nostalgia, it's a different time, but I just love this movie so much. I mean, it's, I really don't know how to describe it. It's one of those so bad it's good movies.
It's more, you know? Despite that it's like its departures, it's still a more faithful adaptation to Street Fighter than The Legend of Chun-Li.
Ugh, that doesn't even meet the basics. Like, you see characters in name only, and might as well not even.
Also, we don't get a spinning bird kick. I forgot. I thought we got a spinning bird kick.
I kept waiting for it to happen, but it never did. And that don't we get a really spinning bird
kick in Legend of Chun-Li? I could have sworn we did.
I think we did, yeah.
Like, it's very, granted, like, arbitrary. Like, it's more, like, realistic, but whatever.
I don't go, like I said, I as much as I don't go out of my way to see this one, I go out of my way even less to try to find fucking Legend of Chun-Li.
Nobody should watch that one. Although I will, for commentary's sake.
I bootlegged it once, because back in the day, I used to watch Smallville, and I had a huge crush on Kristen Krug. But after that, it was just, that one movie burned up all my goodwill towards her and, like, any of that production, like, honestly. And there were so many good actors wasted in that, too. Like, for example, like, Neil McDonough, Michael Clark Duncan, Moon Bloodgood.
There was good actors.
There was really good talent in that one. Just like there was good talent in this one. For, you know, for the time. You had
For 94, they had the cream of the crop.
Raul Julia, Ming-Na Wen was up in the rise, I think. And, you know, you had characters like that.
Either way, it's a clown. It's basically a cartoon. It's comedy. It's not a great movie. It's not a good movie, but it's definitely one you can get with your buddies and watch and just laugh. Well,
like, the production of it is like on par with like a Scooby-Doo live action movie where it's
that
like
first movie was really good. You shut your whole mouth.
The plot and everything is ripped directly from it, and it all the mannerisms and all the tropes are picked directly from the video game and stuff, which isn't bad. But, yeah, that's pretty much where we find ourselves. So,
all right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode, this chapter, or whatever I call it, whatever, of TNT Commentaries. Brian, I want to thank you for coming along. The next time you'll probably be joining us is when Dragon and I cover Deadpool.
Oh, I am definitely coming out for that episode. So, make sure you guys get it right, honestly.
No idea when we're going to get to that, but I look forward to just laughing and hearing about the history of Deadpool.
Oh, man. Let me tell you. These commentaries are much more fun. I mean, if you ever want to bring me back beforehand, let me know.
Oh, sure. I'm going to bring you back for The Legend of Chun-Li. We have to. I mean, we did this first one. We have to do the second one. We're going to have to sit through that bore fest.
For the sake of symmetry, you're right, but like part of me is dying, like curling up on the inside. But
well, maybe
I will
Dragon
suffer
will be part of that one,
for our artwork. I will do that.
All right, and tell everybody where to find us, because you're gonna plug all our shit. Plug your shit.
Okay, folks. Well, first and foremost, we all met and continue to be regular presences on the Green Lantern Corps message board. That's www.thegreenlanterncorps.com. Pop on over there. You can find myself, Iggy, Mr. Dragon. Less so. I don't even think he's really even on so much of the boards nowadays. Is he?
Who, me?
No. Mr. Dragon.
No, not really. No. He's on Twitter.
Yeah,
and
he's kind of faded out. But that's fine. Anybody else who follows you will know about the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel podcast, which we'll be doing every Monday.
They know about the Warriors 3 at this point.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously we got that coming. We're going to be doing Apocalypse next Monday, I think it is.
Yes,
where we're doing
this comes out the week we... No, it doesn't. Apocalypse would have been the week before, so Apocalypse would have been should have been out by this point.
Yeah, yeah. So
it's so weird to
okay,
do that,
so
this
we're gonna
recording in advance, letting you behind the scenes. So when this goes up, X-Men Apocalypse movie special will be up.
Yes. So tune back in for that. Until then, we're at thewarriors3.wordpress.com. We regularly post all the episodes up there for updates. We also are on Twitter and Facebook. We're at Facebook at the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. For Twitter, what is our
Warriors
Twitter handle? Thank you. So that's our Twitter, and I'm also there as well at No Mr. Powers. That's NO_MR_Powers. And I sometimes post things. I mostly reblog Max Landis, so, you know,
if
you're into
that. On Fridays, that's pretty much what you do.
That's how Iggy knows it's Friday, when I just retweet all my Twitter shit. That's all happens on Friday. So I'm over there, and like I said, greenlanterncorpsmessageboard.com is where you can usually find any of us. So check us out.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so I will Brian will be here next week, but next week, Mr. Dragon and I will bring with you Jurassic Park, The Lost World. So get ready for the dinosaurs, bitches. It's going to be Jeff Bloomfest. Well, you see. So I'm not going to try to do it. Well, either way, thank you for listening.
Tough guy Vince Vaughn and Raptors defeated by gymnastics.
I forgot it's Vince Vaughn was in that movie.
He was the tough guy in that one. He's the bad about that. Bad man.
All right. Well,
have fun with that one.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for sticking with us. And remember to always, sure you can, on Omar Vlasicki. Oh wait, we got an after credit scene.
Oh, what? That's right. I forgot.
What the fuck?
They were sequel begging back in the day.
What is this? I don't remember seeing this.
This bison's like not really dead. That's what it should be.
Oh my god! Yeah, look at that. Hold on, I don't remember this.
Look at that Street Fighter movie doing it before Marvel made it popular
in 1994. Holy shit!
They had a
post-credits. Yeah, there's bison.
He's even more Undertaker iconography! Hand bursting out of the makeshift world domination!
Oh my god. There you go, that's how we remake the movie. There you go, we needed Street Fighter 2, the movie.
All these years later, let's do it. JCVD is still in remarkable shape, he could get it done.
He can play an older guy. Alright, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. I didn't realize there was a post-credit sequence in this. And I will see you all next week for Jurassic Park, The Lost World. Until then, stay marvelous. Have a good night.
Peace out.